With the Lord's gracious help, we want to consider this afternoon words that you will find in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 13, at verse 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed, or when we first believed, is the meaning of those words. Paul, in his letters to the various churches, brings forth the glorious doctrine of God, the wonderful truths that are contained in his holy word. And these things are written for our learning. As he writes to any particular church, he has also in his mind that these letters, these words, this gospel testimony will be delivered unto many churches. And perhaps Paul could not conceive in his day how the scriptures would go forth into all the world. And these things are written for our edification. They're not just idle words. They are words that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. They come with all divine authority. Therefore, we should hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The apostle here had briefly recounted the commandments of God that were written upon tablets of stone and reaffirms them. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Saying there, really, there are two commandments. First, our love to God, who demands our explicit obedience to the law that he has given unto us. And secondly, our love to the brethren. If we are born, if we are truly born of the Spirit of God, this will be one of the great evidences that we love the brethren, that we love those that love the Lord. There are these things, these precious doctrines which unite us together and build us up in our most holy faith. This is why the church has a membership. It has those that are committed to the cause and to the doctrines of truth, to the holy word of God, and those that admit their allegiance to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords are under God's Almighty's direction to love one another. Was not this the commandment that John brings forth in his epistle also, that we are to love one another? He goes on to say, love worketh no ill to his neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now the rich young man came to the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to know what he must do to be saved. And he informed the Lord that he had kept the commandments. And we take him at his word. We feel that this was a sincere young man who came with a true question and a desire to know the truth. But he had that proud nature by which he felt that he had accomplished everything. He had done all things, therefore should he not be the recipient of salvation? But the Lord Jesus Christ points out to him that he lacks something. He lacks one vital thing. He says, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and come, take up thy cross and follow me. There is real love, there is real commitment, there is real purpose of faith, following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can't say that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ in some of his ways, and yet we do not need to follow him in others. This is where so many churches have gone wrong in recent generations. They have a partial gospel. They believe some of the truth, and they go so far in the pathway of truth, but they do not receive it all. Now, either we receive it all, or we receive none at all. We receive the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore that truth demands of us a new life, a new walk, a new conversation, a new spirit, and all is directed by love, our love to the Lord Jesus. And therefore it is incumbent upon us to love one another. As the Lord said to his disciples, love ye one another, even as I have loved you. And what a precious truth he lays before us there. What a high doctrine. Or can we attain unto it, to love one another? And then he comes to the words of our text. And, or also, this is added, as it were, to it. And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Or may we be helped to discern the truth of the words of our text and bring them forth for our blessing. Firstly, knowing the time. Knowing the time. What time is the apostle speaking of? Well, this may refer to various times, and we want to relate some of those times for our edification. Firstly, there are two times in God's order in the declaration of his holy word, known as two testaments, the old and the new. Knowing the time, it is very evident that we are in the New Testament age, the second testament and the last testament. There will be no other time than the time that is afforded us now. The Old Testament, with all its directions concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the Messiah, all the types and shadows appointed unto him, all the offerings and the sacrifices which show the need for the reconciliation of man to God, because he had fallen from his first state and condition. All these things are adequately displayed through the teaching of the law and of the commandments of our holy God. If only man had ears to hear and hearts to receive these glorious truths. Now there were some, of course, that did believe. There were some that trusted in the God of their salvation. As it is said of Abraham, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, he saw it, and was glad. David also is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ upon his throne forever and forever. Great David's greater son. And so these eminent saints of God looked for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were laid to rest before that time came, believing earnestly that the time would come. They trusted in God that his word was true. They believed the veracity of the scriptures that were given unto them, the light that they had at that particular time. But of course, in reflection, that time was a time of shadowy darkness, when little was perceived and understood of the full extent of the Word of God. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he came to declare the gospel, the good news of salvation, which he would accomplish for his people at Calvary, when he would lay down his life for his friends. And so at that time we entered into this second age, this gospel age. And this age will go on to the end of time. There will be no other day. Now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. And God has been very pleased in this time to give us the whole counsel of God. The word of God is complete. People are always wanting something more. They want to add unto the scriptures, or they want to take away from the same. But God has given us his word complete from beginning to end. These are the scriptures of truth. And we believe them to our salvation, or we reject them to our damnation. There's only two places to which we are headed, either heaven or hell. Eternal happiness or eternal misery. Now where do we stand in relationship to these things? Now our text says, knowing the time. Do we know this time? Do we know that we live in this gospel age? Do we appreciate that God has given us all his counsel, and that there is nothing more that he can say unto us or take away from his word that he has spoken? Remember that he is a God that changes not. His decree shall stand forever and ever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall never pass away. And it is upon this word that we find either blessings or curses. This is either a savour of life unto life, or of death unto death. Which is it to you today? So do not be fooled. Do not be mocked by the devil into thinking that, well, in some way it will be all right for me at the end. Everything will fall into place. What a foolish way of consideration. And for those of you that are younger, to consider that there is plenty of time for you to commit yourselves unto God. Knowing the time. Now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. It doesn't say tomorrow or next month or next year or next century. It says now. Because the only time that we have is in the now. The past has gone, and we shall know it no more. The future is yet to come, whatever that future may hold. We know not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what tomorrow holds out for us. The old must die and the young may die. And I want especially to direct this word to the younger people, simply because It is utter complacency to think that there is plenty of time. My mind, as I was meditating upon these things, went back a number of years to when I visited one of the major hospitals in London to visit a boy, or young man rather, from the village where our church was. His parents had been to that church, and this man was suffering from incurable cancer. And I can remember going into that ward, and it made a deep impression upon me, because it was made up mainly of young people. Young girls without any hair. Knowing that many of these were in an incurable state, that their life was short-lived. Knowing that soon they must die. And so, disease does affect young people. And when it affects them, usually the disease is rampant and runs quickly through their body. Also, I was thinking about this state of Montana, a sparsely populated state, and yet how many young people are killed on the roads? It seems an enormous number for the number of the populace. And so, accidents, as we call them, do take place, and many young people are suddenly taken from time into eternity. Then there are fires. We hear of young people dying in fires that sweep through the house and quickly engulf them in flames. There is no certainty to life. The only one certainty in life is death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Knowing the time, we cannot live for tomorrow. We can only, in that sense, live for today. Then, is it time for us to consider where we stand in relationship to eternity? Oh, what a tremendous sound eternity is. Eternity, eternity, wherefore shall I spend eternity? You know, so many people completely disregard the future state. They live for the day, and they can look no further. But a time will come when they are brought to the grave. Shall it be in peace or shall it be in terror? We cannot adequately describe the distinction between happiness and sorrow, life and death. That is eternal life and eternal death. Oh, where shall we be? This world that knows us now one day will know us no more again forever. Knowing the times. But the old people also. Knowing the time. And you know that the days are short. You know that you have not many more years. You've lived the majority of your life. And soon the time of the end will come. Do you consider the time? The time that God has given you. He's lengthened out your days. To what purpose? For good or for evil? For life or for death? And then there are those in the midst of life who fail to be strong and vibrant in their bodies, untouchable. Ah, but these also are vulnerable unto the hand of death. the divine appointment sometimes meets them before they are ready, before they have considered their days. Remember now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, when the burdens of life haven't come upon the young people, what a day to consider, a day of gracious discernment. But the days are fast hastening on. Paul and the apostles spoke of the end times. They knew that this gospel age would not go on forever. It has a limit. And as the Old Testament suddenly came to an end, so will the New Testament. God will come as a thief in the night. We have that great parable of the virgins. And we're told that there was a distinction between them, although that distinction was not immediately apparent. Five were wise and five were foolish. Five were prepared and five were unprepared. Isn't this a description of life? That some are made ready to meet God and others are not. But we read of both of them that they slumbered and slept. What a solemn condition they were all in, really. But when the bridegroom cometh, they awoke, and those that were ready went to the marriage feast, the supper of the Lamb. And those that were unready were locked out forever. And here we have a description that they did not redeem the time, for the days were evil. They were not on their watchtower. They were not like Habakkuk, watching to see what the Lord would say unto them. They were asleep. And it seems to me that the devil has put so many to sleep today that they're unconcerned about their eternal state and condition, that they consider not that one day they will have to die. And if they consider it at all, the devil has so put it into their heads that it is annihilation, that there's nothing beyond the grave. Well, the Word of God utterly disputes that and declares that there is something after death. There is an eternal state. So many do not want to believe the Scriptures. They put it far from their minds, but the day will declare it, and they will be suddenly hoisted into a state and condition from which there is no retrieval. There is no improvement. There is no happiness. Only eternal misery and pain. Knowing the time. Perhaps some of you have afflictions in your body. You can look back over your years before these afflictions came upon you, that they have come, knowing that you have to live, and some have to live with the affliction to the end of their days. What does it mean? Well, are these not warnings from God to us that our bodies are decaying? We are, each of us, getting older, and the clay cottage will begin to crumble. Everything upon this earth shall come to its end. And with some that end is much nearer than with others. Let us not think, well, yes, I can look at others. They seem to be frail. They seem to be infirm. And therefore I shall outlive them by years. Well, remember the parable of the wicket gate, the old gate upon its hinges. It creaked and it moaned, and for years and years and years it went on in that same way, while new young gates were hung and wore out in a very short time. So it is very often that afflicted people can live a long life, whereas those that are not afflicted die early. Something takes hold upon them, and they are soon gone, knowing the time. What a mercy if we do know the time. The time of our need. A time to call upon the name of the Lord. Now it's only by grace that this time will come to us. But let me ask, has this time come to you? Do you know this time? Are you able to discern it? The time of the Lord's first appearing, often described as the time of love. Where is the happiness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul's refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Some can look back to that time with deep affection. It was the day of the Lord's appearing. It was the day of our great change, when we became new creatures in Christ Jesus, when former things had passed away. We had no appetite or no desire for them. Now we look to the Lord and for his directions to walk in his way and do his will. No longer were we of a rebellious nature nor of a carnal spirit, but our desires were toward the Lord, knowing the time. It was time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. It was a time of the first evidence of life. It was a time of great joy in believing. It was a time when the Lord seemed to be so near unto us, when we received the blessings of Almighty God, knowing the time. Well, there are many that do not know this time and never will know this time. What a solemn condition to be in if we do not know the time of the Lord's appearing. But perhaps that time has not yet come for you. But do you desire it? Do you long for it? Are you waiting for it? Are you expecting it? You see, I say again, the devil has so lulled many to sleep that they have no care or regard for these things. They go on day by day living their lives as if they should live forever. Well, the devil is a liar and a thief right from the very beginning. And he seeks to destroy all that is of the Lord our God. That was his great desire when he deceived Eve. And so he continues his venom and will do to the end of time. Now especially, if the Lord has begun to work in your heart and begun to give you a tender conscience in his fear, and put some desire in your heart that you might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has said, be sure that the devil will try and stop up your ears and to prevent you going in the ways of God's appointing. Now we know, of course, with the elect that the devil has no power over them. But he can tempt them sore, knowing the time. How often one begins to consider things more deeply, more seriously. And the devil wants to come and snatch the seed out of the ground, as the birds do the seeds of the earth. And how the tender conscience feels the effect of the devil coming upon them to frustrate God's purposes and to try, if he could, to prevent them coming to the Lord. then there is a time of resistance, when we feel that all things are against us, when we perhaps come to the conclusion that God will never hear our cries, never answer our petitions, never come to our aid, and everything seems lost and dead. Is not the exhortation of Scripture to still cry on, to seek and to seek and to seek again, for the Lord will hear the cries of his children, because he has put that cry in your heart. And when he puts a cry in the hearts of his people, it is that he might give attention to that cry and deliver them from the wrath of the oppressor. Knowing the time, oh, what a time it is. What a day we live in. What solemn things are coming upon the nations. And if we consider the nation here, one nation under God, what a great declaration that was. And perhaps it was a great truth at one time, although one wonders if ever there was a majority who sought after good things. But it does seem that in former days, things were much better. The churches were full, people would respect the Lord's day, and they would speak as though the Lord heard every word that dropped from their lips. There was a general respect for the things of God, even though people may not have been religious. Yet there was a sort of fear to offend or to disobey. But where are those things today? How deep has this nation fallen? Knowing the time, look around you, observe, consider what days we live in, days of great evil. You know, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah had got so bad that men were living with men and women with women. There was much incest. There was rape. There was adultery. There's all kinds of fornication. Knowing the time. What was that time? It was a time when God's vengeance would be meted out. When fire suddenly came down from heaven. And all those wicked creatures were consumed. Ah, but you say, wasn't there among them innocent children and babes? Is anyone innocent? Are we not all born in sin? And although the children do not the things that the parents do, yet they are of the same stock. And God's judgment, when it's meted out, solemnly will be meted out upon all. None shall escape. Now none escaped out of Sodom. And even Lot's wife delayed and looked back and was consumed by the same fire and became a pillar of support, a sort of spectacle for people for years to come. Brought to consider. We could go back further to the days of Noah. Noah built an ark to the saving of his household, because he was warned of God. Now I'm sure that Noah preached the ensuing flood, and that people needed to prepare for the end of time. I'm sure he declared boldly these great truths that would come upon this people if they did not repent and turn to God, that they would perish. But as Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You see, there was a whole generation of people where we cannot tell how many, but there must have been thousands, thousands and thousands, unprepared, and only a few who gave consideration to the words of the preacher. And these were taken into the ark, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that put on Christ Jesus the Lord by an open profession of real faith are like those in the ark. They are safe, they are secure. Nothing can touch them. The storm shall not come upon them. And they are delivered from all the effects that will come upon the wicked. And so the day came when the rains began to fall upon the earth. They must have looked up and wondered, what is this that is falling upon us? But as the rain increased, and as the earth became flooded, as the foundations of the earth were broken up, as the waters began to rise to cover the lowlands, and then the middle lands, and then the highlands, and within a short space of time, relatively speaking, the whole earth was engulfed in water. And all those people perished. Young and old, rich and poor, strong and weak, whatever their state or condition, they all perished. They were all lost to all eternity. Considering the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. That it is now high time to awake out of sleep. How many in this world today are sleeping the sleep of death? Unawares of everything around them. Unawares that there is a God who demands allegiance. A God who will mete out his vengeance upon the wicked. As we mentioned this morning, God is angry with the wicked every day. But his long-suffering, he does not judge them immediately. But the day of judgment will come, and it will come suddenly, that they will be hailed into a never-ending eternity of misery and sorrow. But can we not say in the churches that it is high time to awake out of sleep? How easy it is to settle down. You hear the ministry, but you don't hear it. You hear it, but it has no effect. You hear it in the chapel, and soon after, it's all gone. It's as though the preacher never preached. It is now high time to awake out of sleep. How much longer will we continue in that lethargic state, which is to the damnation of our souls? Is not the apostle inspired to speak a word of warning? And does not the Lord say, they that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches? How we shut up our ears to the accents of the gospel. How it means nothing to us. Leave us alone. You know, there are some people who love their beds. They love to lay in. They hate to be stirred. It's time to get up. It's time to go to school or to work or to whatever. Leave me alone. I'm resting, I'm sleeping, I don't want to be disturbed. Let me be. And is it the same under the preaching of the gospel? Don't disturb us. Don't stir us up. Don't speak things that we do not like. Do not give us warnings that we don't want to heed. No, be silent. Let us alone. Let us sleep on. What a mercy that God has sent his preachers to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make the way of salvation known by Jesus Christ alone. If these should be silent, then the stones would speak. But God has commanded his servants to go and preach the gospel, and the preaching of the gospel is not just to comfort people in their lethargic state and condition, is to awaken them out of the sleep of death. It is to bring them to account because of their sins, that their sins are chargeable again upon them. Now either the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price of our sins, and if he paid the price of our sins, do we not owe him allegiance? Do we not owe him the debt of gratitude? Should we not be obedient and follow in his ways? But if not, if we are not awakened to the gospel, if the good news of salvation doesn't come to our ears, well, the preacher is free. He has warned the people. He has spoken unto them the words of truth and life. And be it upon yourselves if you do not want to hear, if you shut your ears to the gospel, that God will awaken all his people in due time. And what a mercy is that? Because in our natural state, we're no better than any others. All the sins that have ever been perpetrated in this world are capable to be performed by us. Given the right place and opportunity and desire, we could commit all these sins. When you think of some of the awful atrocities that have been performed in the world, not only in former times, but also in recent times. However can man descend to be worse than an animal? How filthy and disgusting a creature he is. And yet I say, we are no better. We are exactly the same. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Are we asleep? Do we not want to be disturbed? Be quiet. Let's not disturb them. Leave them alone. Let them fall into perdition. But know God in his wonderful and infinite mercy has sent his servants to boldly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, to warn the people of the impending destruction that is coming upon the earth and upon them themselves. Oh, that the Spirit may give ears to hear and hearts to receive the glorious truth of God's word, that now is the appointed time. Now is the day of our salvation. Oh, to put these things off. As we by nature will always do. How solemn a thing I say it is. But has God sent his servant today to awaken you out of your sleep? That by his grace you shall hearken to the message of the word of God. And not only shall you hear it, but you shall obey it. You shall walk it out, and you shall seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. You know, people think that they can put these things off to another day. And isn't that how the devil brings men and women to their damnation? By thinking that when they get older, or when they get wiser, or when they get richer, or whatever it may be, then perhaps they will begin to seek the Lord. But in all seriousness, is it not time to seek him now? We know that we cannot do it of ourselves. There is no man that will ever seek the Lord by his own volition and by his own power. Power belongeth unto God, not unto us. Oh man, in many churches they may preach of man's free will and his ability to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ or to accept Christ whenever he feels like it. But these are preaching a lie. It's not true. Man will never have a desire of his own to seek after God. None come except the Father draw. We need that drawing influence of the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to draw us unto Christ, a sinner's friend. There to plead our cause before him. There to confess and repent and turn away from our sins and turn unto our God. It's high time to awake out of sleep. Oh, that the Holy Spirit may be pleased to use these words today. Why has he directed us to this portion? Why have we come to this word? Is it for a purpose? I trust that it is. I trust that the Holy Spirit will work upon some to bring them to consider, to deliver them out of their sleepy condition, to bring them to consider their ways before God. Oh, how easy it is, even for the true believer, to drop off to sleep and not to think upon the things of God. Now, listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ directs his servant to send unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know my works. God knows your works. That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What's the condition of this church at Laodicea? They say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But they do not know, they do not realize, they're not awake to consider that in reality that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, the Lord gives them counsel. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thyself, that thou mayest see. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Well, what a mercy that there are those that have believed the gospel of God's dear Son and have shown their faith in Christ Jesus by following him in his ordinances. But as we mentioned with the good virgins, they also slept. And so they needed this in a direction to awake out of their sleep. For our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The days are fast hastening on. Our lives are drawing to a close. With some, they say it's much nearer than with others. But the day is at hand. What a comfort to those that do believe. To know that their salvation draweth near. And as we considered this morning, this is the salvation, the deliverance of body and soul from this earth. A place where there will be no more sin and no more sorrow, no more misery, no more death. Loved ones are being taken from us. They live their course, and then it was written of them as it has been written of all, and they died. And those that have died in faith have died to enter into that kingdom where sin and sorrow are known no more, where eternal happiness is their portion. Then the saint of God will come to this, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. If only we realized that the moment after death we are taken into glory, then we should be more willing to leave behind everything here below. Or how even the best of believer hangs on to something in this life. His loved ones, his possessions, his friends, his church, whatever it may be. There is something that he clings hold of, but at length he must let it go. And we must let go everything here below. But what a blessing to awake in glory, there to be forever with the Lord, to know him as he is to be known, to be clothed in his perfect righteousness, and there to enjoy the presence of God forever, and to know that there will be none taken from us. There will be nothing to mar our happiness. Everything will be peace and joy and glory. Oh then, may these words sink deep into our ears and into our hearts. May there be a response given from us. How many times do we leave the church? And soon after we've left, everything that has been spoken has been completely forgotten. What did the preacher preach about? What was his subject? What was his text? What part of the Bible did it come from? I've forgotten. I can't remember. I do not know. A thief has stolen them away. And we're left no better than before we came. Yes, it's high time to awake out of sleep because we know not what tomorrow brings. We know not what a day may bring forth. We do not know what the future holds. Our times are in God's hands and all events at his command. But the true believer can comfort himself in this, that not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. There is a divine appointment. Or will it be in fear and trepidation? Or will it be in great joy that we meet that appointment? For truly, it must come to every single one of us. It will come to you and to me. Amen.